You may have heard the announcement, or you may have seen the WhatsApp poster, the social media poster, that we are now going to be tackling the issue of complaints about Muslim women and how they are treated at airports in South Africa. Recently, a large number of Muslim women have complained, especially on social media, that they are being harassed at South Africa's airports due to their headgear. This has led to widespread concerns about possible religious profiling at South Africa's airports. Recently, UKSA, that's the umbrella body, the United Ulama Council of South Africa, met with the leadership of EXA to discuss these complaints and concerns. As part of this engagement, EXA had committed that they are willing to engage the Muslim community in South Africa to explain the protocols and processes and to hear what the issues and the grievances are. So as part of this engagement, we are glad to welcome to the program this morning General Imzondile Petros, who is the Group Executive for Enterprise Security and Compliance at EXA. General, a very good morning to you. Welcome to Radio Islam International. Okay, we seem to have lost the general there. Let's try with our second guest. That's the Regional General Manager at OR Tambo International Airport, Jabulani Kambule. Jabulani, a very good morning to you and welcome.
Good morning, Suleiman, and good morning to your listeners, and thank you very much for the invite.
Okay, I'm just trying to see if we can get the general back on the line, and then we can continue the discussion. We remind our listeners that we will give you an opportunity to ask your questions directly a little later. There's a number of questions that have already come in via WhatsApp and our social media platforms. So I want to go through some of those initially, and then a little later we will open the lines on 011-854-1548. So we just want to mention that to our listeners listening to us in Gauteng on medium wave on the radio, throughout South Africa on DSTV's audio bouquet, that's the Radio Islam Channel 826, and those listening to us throughout Africa as well as internationally, and the listeners Zandile Petros. General, a very good morning to you and welcome.
Very good morning to you and thanks for having us on the line, and good morning to your listeners too.
Okay, General, if I can start with you, right? What is the policy regarding headgear? Is it necessary to remove it? Is it necessary for males and females, all types of headgear? What's the protocol?
Thank you very much for the question. The procedure that we have is that which is actually clearly written out is that people with headgear, men will remove their headgear, put it on the tray like you put the cell phones and have it scanned through the scanner. But women, you will actually have to touch the head and check and pump the head and check and it as to if there is nothing you do underneath the toque, as you may call it, or the headgear. And I must hastily say that it's not only applicable to Muslim women, it's applicable to all women with
a lady does not have to remove her scarf or her duk or whatever. All that is required is for it to be patted.
Yes, that's the case. Look, there is a religious sensitivity in the procedure, and it is also applied that we are aware that there are regions and cultures where women cannot take off their headgear, at least in public, and hence that procedure is taking care of that.
So a female will pet the headgear of a female. Is that also part of a protocol?
The protocol is in the screening services that are provided by AXA and other airport for that matter. That's what the procedure says, because it is standard, is that men will be searched by men and women will be searched by women.
Mm-hmm. So what's the whole issue then of taking them separately for screening? If it's not necessary to remove the headgear, petting can take place on the spot, no?
Look, the screening, let me actually explain why the touch and checking underneath their heads and their headgear. The reason for that, the threat is evolving in terms of the explosive. In the past, you'd know that the screening machines are looking at the metal detecting. And of course, there are explosives and other prohibited items that could be hidden that the screening machines will not necessarily pick up.
Okay, Jabalani, let me bring you in here, right? The general has explained that it's not necessary for a woman to remove her headgear. And if a female is not comfortable being patted in full view of others, she can ask for the female to take her to a private side room or something like that. Now, we've seen there's been a number of complaints. I think some reports suggest some 350 complaints from Muslim women. Many of them are saying that officials that are doing the screening are actually forcing them to remove the headgear, saying, no, that's part of the protocol. Obviously, the general is saying it's not. You only have to pat. What would we attribute that to, Jabulani? Is that happening according to your investigation? Are there staff who don't understand the protocol or who are exceeding the limit?
Thank you for that question. I think we do have, on odd cases, where you will have a staff member who would have, behavioral issues. But as far as we are concerned, and with the actually being seen on camera forcing any of our passengers to remove their headgear. And I just also want to emphasize that to the general's point, that females will be searched by females. Males will be searched by males. And in this regard, to your point that you mentioned, should our passenger wish to be searched privately, they would request to do so, and they will be escorted by the female security officer into the area, and then they can then remove in that area if they have to remove their headgear. In the event the security officer maybe patted the lady's head, and then might have suspected that there is something on the head. However, it is unnecessary to do so in the event that once the passenger has been searched or patted on the head, there's no need then for the passenger to be forced to remove the headgear. And I also just want to mention to our public, not to waste most of your time, that at our security search points, we actually have a manager, and particularly here at OR Tambo, as you go through the domestic terminal search point, there is a supervisor that is sitting directly opposite the screening machines for whom our passengers, should they experience any challenges, that person is there throughout the day, and those complaints can actually be raised directly with the supervisor on the floor, and that particular staff member can actually be dealt with should there be a behavioral issue that is unacceptable.
So, Jabalani, just to be clear, right, I mentioned that some reports suggest that there were recently about 350 complaints from Muslim women about how they were treated in regards to the headgear at South African airports. Obviously, all 350 complaints would not have reached yourselves. But from the complaints that did reach you, I'm not sure how many, are you saying when you saw the footage, there was no wrongdoing by the staff whatsoever? They were not forcing the ladies to remove the headgear. They were merely wanting to tap.
Absolutely. We have not experienced that. This procedure has actually started. It's a procedure that has always been there, and we have been doing the search on all passengers, male and female. Everyone with headgear has to actually be searched. And those particular concerns or complaints that I am aware of, a particular incident of a lady called Nadia, and then there was another incident of another gentleman who was with his family. We've seen the footage, we went through the footage, and there was no visible or there was no sign of force from our security officers. Obviously, we do not have audio in terms of what the communication between the passenger as well as the security officer. However, from what we have seen, it's definitely not, there wasn't a situation where a passenger was actually forced. It was just a matter of procedure that when you go through our metal detectors or our screening points, you will have to be searched when you are wearing a headgear, regardless of religion, color, creed, or any other orientation.
So, General, to come back to you, right, so far what you've explained and what Jabulani has explained, it's not compulsory for a lady to remove a headgear. All that is compulsory is that they want to tap to make sure or to pat that there's nothing being concealed beneath the headgear which will not be picked up by the metal detectors. And this is not exclusive to Muslim women. All women who have headgear, all men who have headgear, those who are willing to remove it, like men who are willing to remove it, fine. Women, allow them to pat, or if you want it to be done in private, then that is also something that will be accommodated female on female. However, General, a lot of the messages, you know, coming up on my screen as we speak say that at times you will find at one airport they insist on doing it, and another airport in South Africa they don't do it. Some listeners are saying that when they were standing in the queue, they would see non-Muslim females with headgear not being stopped and the headgear not being checked, but as soon as a Muslim female comes and this happens. How do you respond to what is seen as an inconsistency?
Look, I know this came up, and I think the engagements that we have, I think you've called the Muslim bodies that we've met and the legal people we've actually met, that came up. You see, a standard operational procedure is a standard operational procedure, because what people will say, my experience in Durban is this, my experience in Cape Town is this, is different from what Kabigafet or Trump. But that standard operational procedure is the same for all airports. This is where I come in at the central level, at head office level, to ensure that those standard operational procedures are actually standard. But the implementation of that, you'll find that some person will actually turn a blind eye or a blind ear to things that they're supposed to be doing, which is actually something that we brought to the attention of the counterparts of Mr. Kambule, the regional managers in Cape Town and Kinshasa, because they might be creating a problem for our Tambo. But one thing that we're happy about with the regional manager at our Tambo is that the people that whom we met is actually we took them through the incident that the complaint that actually started this complaint. And then we decided that we're not going to just show this incident. We'll show the incident maybe 20 minutes before and then maybe a little bit 5 minutes after that. And of course, there is an appreciation that this is not necessarily targeted, nor profiling people who are coming there. The only profile of the person is that if you have a headgear, that headgear must be removed if you are a man. And if you are a woman, other women who are wearing head caps will see on the screen that they just take their heads off. But those with two, you will actually, they have the preference of having their head, you know, hair checked as to there is nothing underneath the headgear.
Okay.
So that basically that is the case. So you will find that if there is the implementation of the standard of the procedure, is not uniform throughout, is actually a concerning effect thing to me as the head of security.
So I know we have some callers on the line. I'm going to ask them to be just a little patient. There's a few more messages in terms of what has come through from this morning on the WhatsApp that I want to touch on with our guest before we get to the callers. But the lines are open on 011-854-1548. Both our listeners out in Joburg, Durban, and in various parts of the country and continent, you can call in on that number. And you can also WhatsApp us on 072-786-1548. Jabulani, I'm looking at one message that comes up on the screen that says, it's not only about Muslim women and the headscarf. At times, Muslim women are reporting that they walk through the scanner, there's no beep, and yet the personnel there insist on a full body search. What would the reason be for insisting on a full body search or a full body pat down, rather, even though there was no beep?
For that reason, any passenger that goes through the central search point, we also have a process which is called a random searching. So with our random search process is that every 10 passengers going through the search point, so between 1 and 10, there would be a random search. And what the machines will do, the machine can be set up in very different ways. It may beep, it may just show a light, so it doesn't have to actually beep. So as a passenger goes through the machine and you are passenger number 5 on the queue, and it's been said that every 5 passengers will have to be searched, and you will appreciate why the randomness of every 5 passengers or every 6 or every 4, because we change it now and then, so that we are not predictable as a security protocol. But then when that happens, you actually, as a passenger, if the machine picks you up, say you are passenger number 5 in every five passengers that needs to be searched, you will be searched, and the security officer, as you have been randomly picked up by the machine, the security officer does have the discretion to actually do the entire body search to you as a passenger, because it is part of the protocol to do the full body search of a passenger. And if a passenger does get picked up by the machine and the passenger requests that the full body search be done privately, that can be done privately, but it is part of the protocol. And I would like the general to also maybe add up on that if there's any that you would like to emphasize on this particular
protocol. Yes, General, if I can just add to the
please.
Question.
I would like to add on that. Maybe ask the question so that I can actually...
Yeah, so I just wanted for absolute clarity, is what Jabulani is saying the following, right? That one is the scanner will beep if you're carrying something on your person that will activate the scanner. But apart from that, even if you've got nothing on your person, the scanner is pre-programmed to beep every so many people so that random searches can take place. And the beeping aside, the personnel are told by the manager that every so many people should be pulled out, even if it doesn't beep, just to do random searches. Is that how it works?
Let me. I wanted to actually elaborate on that.
Okay.
Jabu is saying between 1 and 10. That's the minimum. What happens at the airport is that machine gets calibrated in the morning. It's actually the discretion of the supervisor to say, we'll take the sixth person every time. So, but you'll see the long queues at the airport. If you take the six of 200 people, there will be too many people that will be randomized. But if it's many people, there's a discretion as well as to say, I'll take the 20th person. Every 20th person will be subjected to full body search. And that will happen. That gets calibrated, you know, in the business. So instead of counting out 1, 2, 3, you see why between 1 and 20 is this. If you know the standards that at Owatambo, you search every person. So the person who has bad intention or who will be smuggling drugs through the airport, we make sure that I don't become the 10th person because I know that is a standard operational procedure. So what will happen if the machine changes today to something the 12th person, it will be for that day, but it will be a standard thing throughout that after 12, it will be the 24th, after that, the 36th person in terms of the queue. So that's what the machine is going to be doing. It will be 12, 24, 36, 48, and you name it. So that's what will happen every day, but it is a predetermined, you know, calibration.
So, General, just a quick last question before we go to the callers. Is there an auditing process in place to ensure that this is now, you know, not used by staff to target a particular religious group or any particular group, and that it's totally random as programmed every 15th person or every 20th person, and that there's no involvement of U.S. authorities or Mossad or U.S. alerts in terms of what EXA does at our airports in South Africa?
Look, The airport aviation, or the aviation in general, is a heavily regulated industry. There is a body that does auditing, which you call South African Civil Aviation Authority, which is independent, an independent body. But it does not only audit AXA Airport. It audits all airports in the country. It's actually regulating all airports throughout the country. But besides that body, there is an international body called International Civil Aviation Organization that does the auditing. And the beauty about it is that when do the auditing, they don't just audit things that are happening on the day, they go back. We keep data in terms of surveillance cameras for quite some time. So what we'll do, if they choose to take January, for make an example, say, we want to look at last month's surveillance, we want to look at this screen and that screen and that screen. They go through that in terms of doing the auditing. They can pick it up. They can pick it up when we don't do it, which is a problem, because it becomes a problem when you're not compliant to the regulation. And they will be picking up that now this randomness is not necessarily randomness. It's targeting people. And of course, I must say as well, you see, it for us, it presents, you know, a problem if you could have a procedure like that is targeting Muslim women. Imagine during Hajj how many women are going through our airport. It will mean that all our screening machines must be just reserved for Muslim women, which is not necessarily the case.
Two callers on the line. Most of the questions on the WhatsApp I have incorporated in what I've asked thus far. I'll ask a few more of them at the end. But let's go to our first caller. We'll ask the callers to be brief and to the point. Assalamu alaikum and welcome. Caller on line one. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sister, you live on air.
Right. I've been profiled twice, and I heard Jabulani's beautiful story is stunning. It's everything but when you are on the airport. The supervisor that he said is sitting there to assist is extremely rude. I've asked the lady to identify herself. They all refused. When I went to her table with her to object to being searched, she actually shook her finger in my face, spit in my face by way of talking, and then asked for another lady to come down. Also, this lady refused to be identified. I've got it all recorded. And she said to me, they search all with Muslim women. It's not a random search because of all the threats they get. Now, if a Muslim lady wear her hijab in the right manner, which most of us do, there is no way she can even push a finger into there. That hijab cap sits tight on your head. So I would like to know from Jabulani, what does he think Muslim females carry under their hijabs?
Jabulani, your response?
Can I take that one? Please?
Yes.
Thank you for that question, and I would let the general also, elaborate on my response.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, let me apologize to the lady for the unpleasant experience she has actually had to observe or go through here at Owa Tambo, because we do not at any point tolerate staff members who would be rude to the passengers. And I would really like that this matter, I be given an opportunity together with the general to actually investigate.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to know, to get the lady's details, the date she has actually went through our airport, and all her flight details, and we will investigate the matter. And I can assure you that in our investigation, we will definitely come back to her with a report of how or how did that fare in terms of what we see on the footage. And we will interview those employees to make sure that that incident, did it really occur? And when it occurred, there will definitely be consequence management on the employees. However, on the second question that the lady has asked, to say, what is it, Jabulani, that you think Muslim women have underneath their hair or underneath their headgear? It's not about what we think Muslim women have underneath their headgear. This is a procedure to search every person or passenger going through our central search points to make sure that the safety and security of all other passengers. And this search, I would like to re-emphasize, we search all people wearing headgear, regardless of your religious orientation, regardless of your race, regardless of your creed.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't really target Muslim women, and there is no way that we are that judgmental that we would say that Muslim women had something underneath their head. Absolutely not. Not in the name of Oliver Reginald Tambo. It can never happen at this airport. It will never happen in a democratic society of South Africa, given our very own history that we understand what discrimination is all about. Thank you very much.
Before the general comes in, Jabulani, I will tell our studio operator to take the lady's details down and to pass it on to you. But on that note, if there are other people with similar complaints, how do they report that? What's the reporting mechanism for Owa Tambo in particular and other airports in South Africa?
That is our customer services line. You can also, though, catch us as well on our social media platform. And once you we're done with this, we can share those details with you, and they can passengers can send through their complaints directly to that particular platform, and we sure will respond.
General, your quick input on that caller before we move to the next caller.
No, I think Jabu covered me, but okay. I was just going to emphasize on the fact that it's not only Muslim women that are targeted in terms of the headgear. It's everybody who's having a headgear, but the procedure outlines how it should be carried out, it differs from men to women. And I agree with you. Take the particulars of the lady. We'll investigate that and come back to you and the lady if she wishes.
Okay, let's take the next caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome.
Hi there.
Good. You're live on air.
Oh, thank you. Sorry. I just want to follow up on the previous caller's inquiry. There's a couple of points. The first is that to say, you know, we search all people with headgear. I mean, the facts would indicate otherwise. But, you know, if it's primarily Muslim women and some Muslim men who are wearing headgear, then obviously the indirect effect of that, even if it was unintentional, which I don't think from the evidence seems to be the case, is a kind of profiling. So, you know, if it's correct what the caller said, and I've heard similar, you know, complaints from other people as well, just to say I'm an attorney and I'm investigating some of these matters and probably referring a couple to the Equality Court, it would seem that there is profiling. It would seem that what is being said to some women is that we are being instructed to search people dressed like you. And there's a clear reference to Muslim women in particular. You know, if one person gets singled out, you know, in a couple of weeks, and there's this alleged sort of random every 15th passenger searching, I mean, that doesn't seem to accord with the facts either. So, you know, the third thing I want to say is that complaints have been made, formal. I'm talking about a specific case. A letter of demand has been written. I'm talking weeks and weeks ago, possibly up to 2 months ago. Not even acknowledged. So, you know, this story about the complaints line also doesn't seem particularly plausible. So, you know, I think the actually need to comment on that. And if there is a specific written policy that their security officers are abiding by, if that says all people with headgear must be searched like they claim, then they should publish that policy. Let the public see it, not just Muslim women, but everybody, to see if that's in fact the case. Because just by way of analogy, I mean, consider the following. The previous caller says, well, if I'm wearing my hijab correctly, then, you know, you can see that there's nothing concealed. And what was said at the beginning, and I've been listening for 20 minutes, is that I don't know if it's just the general or the other manager who said, well, you know, you might have something concealed that is not picked up by the metal detector. So there's two things arising from that. Why is it that many of these complain and say, I did not set off the metal detector? So then there seems to be a policy to say, regardless of the fact whether you set off the metal detector, in fact, in case you don't set off the metal detector, we're going to search you in any event. That then is also profiling Muslim women or women wearing hijabs. So, you know, similarly, if you can conceal something under a hijab, if you're wearing it incorrectly by way of argument and it's got the camel hump and what have you, and you can conceal something in there, then anybody wearing a wig could conceal something in there. Anybody wearing a hat, anybody, you know, wearing anything, anybody could conceal anything on their body. There just seems to be no logical connection with the argument that you might have something concealed on the top of your head as opposed right. to anywhere else on your body. And that every woman who wears a wig, braids or whatever, of which there are literally tens of thousands who travel, and we all go through the airport and we see this. What makes a Muslim woman's hijab different to a complicated wig, which could also have something concealed under it? That's not regarded as headgear. So where's the logic of headgear versus wigs, for example?
All right.
Sorry, I've raised quite a few issues.
Yeah, I've made a note of them. General, do you want to go first? We've lost the General. Jabulani, are you still with us?
Yes, I am still here.
Okay, so do you want to respond to those issues raised?
Yes. Let me thank the gentleman for his questions as well. So I will first start by saying that last week we actually met with the United Ulama Council of South Africa here at our head office in Joburg. And then General on Friday, he also went to Cape Town and also met with some religious leaders there.
The MJC.
To take them through our process. And we have shown them even the footage, like to the General's point when he was actually addressing this issue, to say that what we did, we showed them the footage of 15 minutes before and 20 minutes after, so that they could actually see that this is not a search that targets Muslim women in particular. So I would really like to emphasize that we search everybody wearing a headgear. Now, headgear, you know, it can be a cap, a normal head, a duke, it can be umqhele, it can be a sutu head, it can be any other thing that you put on your head, which is considered a head. You know, wigs and all and that, they those are not considered heads. I've never heard anyone call a wig a head. But there has been security incidents where people were arrested at the airport here concealing drugs or any other prohibited item in their hair. And those people have actually been arrested. Those stories have been published, and some of them you might have read about.
All right.
So I wouldn't say that, I wouldn't agree with the gentleman to say that we specifically are targeting Muslim women. And in fact, I think he mentioned that he's a lawyer. We are very happy to actually invite him to come and join us and sit with us, and we can take him through these processes. Secondly, in terms of us publishing our policy or notifying passengers that when you go through the screening point, you're going to be searched, we are working on artwork as I speak with you, which will be posted in our central search point, which communicates this prior to all our passengers before they get through our screening points, that you will be searched, and we will show the different types of headgear that are available out there, that when you identify with that, you should know that you will go through the screening. So we are very open to doing that. I hope I've covered your questions.
Yeah, I think we've got the general back with us. General, I'm not sure when you dropped off, but the last caller, who's an attorney, saying he represents a number of complainants. He raised a number of issues. Jabulani has responded to a few. Perhaps you can tell us, he said a number of letters have been written to EXA. Earlier on in the interview, it was said that if you feel that the staff are overstepping, the personnel are going beyond the policy reported, he's saying that these letters are not acknowledged. Your response to that, General?
Received, responded to, and in actual fact, we're inviting that more people should actually do that. Should complain, able to investigate. We'll investigate each case. Was investigating a mass complaint. So true. I've picked up from Chavo. A general view that the people who are wearing headgear, most people who are wearing headgear at airports are Muslim women, which is not necessarily true.
Mm-hmm.
We engaged with the communities and the leadership that we met. We were able to show them the profile of people. We have a data of in front of us that is representative of the passengers that are going through the airport, who are willing to entertain pertaining to discrimination suffered by Muslim women through our airport.
All right, so
auditable system. We have an auditable system, and we'll be able to go back on that particular case back to the person.
Okay, I'm just going to see this one last caller that we will take, and then we'll try and wrap. Assalamu alaikum and welcome.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I would just like to inquire from the gentleman, Jazakallah khairan, for this show. On the 15th of August, I was randomly body searched. And there were two women ahead of me. Both of them had on headgear. One had on a beanie and the other one had on a hat. And they were not stopped. In fact, the lady with the beanie was stood with me and she said, why are you searching her? And I was told that it's airport security regulation to search anyone that has a covering over their head. But the other two women were not searched. The one woman actually stood with me and she said, but you searched her and you didn't search me. And it was a cold day, so I had on a jacket and so did the two ladies ahead of me. And I was the only one that was searched.
Hmm. Which airport was this?
At Oliver Tambo at Domestic Departures. And the other thing is, I asked for the head of security to come, and she actually said the same thing. No, it's airport policy that we search anyone that has something over their head. And the lady next to me, I mean, she was someone, a passenger, I didn't even know her, and she said, but I wasn't stopped. Why was she stopped? I said, exactly, why was I stopped? I even asked, I said, I'm not being difficult. Was I stopped because I am a Muslim wearing a scarf? No, no, no such thing. So I said, then why was she not searched?
All right, Jabu, your response?
Firstly, let me thank the lady as well. And I would like, I hear she traveled on the 15th of August. I would appreciate if we can just have her details as well and go and investigate that particular incident and we can report back on what actually happened on that particular day. I will not be able to preempt that at this point.
Okay, so we'll ask the sister to leave her details with the studio operator. We'll pass it on to Jabu. Just to conclude, gentlemen, I mean, the WhatsApp line here has gone crazy. There's many, many messages, still calls that could come through, but we're out of time. I think we've covered some of the key areas, and I think you've committed, like you did when you met the MJC and when you met the United Ulama Council of South Africa, that you're willing to continue to engage with the Muslim community, to hear their grievances, to investigate where there's a need for an investigation. I'm happy to hear, Jabu, I think that UKSA had suggested that notices be put up at the strategic places so that people know exactly what's the regulation, and you said artwork is being prepared. What can we conclude on? What's your concluding message to the Muslim community of South Africa, and what details can you share in terms of further inquiries or any grievances that need to be lodged?
Look for me. What I can say to the Muslim community, maybe firstly, is that we have actually introduced our training for staff. It's called Pride in Action. We train our staff every 3 months at the airport because customer experience and how we treat our passengers is of paramount importance to us. That is number one. So we will restart that, and we assure them that in no way our Tambo or Airports Company South Africa is discriminating nor profiling Muslim women particularly. We do not do that, not in this country, I repeat, not in the name of our Tambo, for which this airport was named after. And we are indeed, to your point, still open as Airports Company South Africa to engage with the public, to engage with the different leaders in the Muslim community on this matter until everybody who goes through our airport feels respected, feels that they are actually treated as good customers of ours. And we would like to wish all our travelers a very happy festive season. In terms of my contact details, we will send our contact details for you to can actually distribute. Our customer care contact is customercare@airports.co.za. Our call center number is 011-921-6262. And you can also find us on Twitter as well as Facebook to communicate with us.
So we can share your details as well, Jabu?
You also can share my details. We will forward our communications person will forward you details that will actually come directly to myself, and I will go through those details. We can share those with you after the show.
All right. And General, your concluding thoughts?
My conclusion is that I agree with Jabu. Well, you know, what I can actually add on that is that you can actually share my contact details. We shared the business cards with the leadership that we met. But I will also encourage the people, if they still have an avenue to complain through those bodies, they know where to find us.
All right. General and Jabu, thank you both for your time this morning. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Salah.
Thank you very much.
And have a great day. Go on.
You too. Bye.